Do you know way down, way down, way down up on the Swanee, talking
yeah.
about the river?
You gotta be Ray Charles.
You know, so far, so far.
So would be correct.
No one else.
Of course.
I know it.
First couple of notes he sings, you know it's him.
Yeah, you're right about that. And in fact, I don't think, I mean, July 4th just went by, and he did a version of God Bless America that I think is still maybe the best version of what? The thousands and thousands that have been done of that song. You know, some people, maybe you, Mr. Schwanee, are going to the Taste of Chicago, but not me. I am going to the Taste of Hungary later
Ooh,
today.
Where you, is that?
Somewhere west on Foster. And at 3:30.
On Foster.
Uh-huh. And at 3:30, and it's on my blog. You can go to my blog, stevedale.tv, which I know Mr. Schwanee does every 20 minutes or so.
15.
At least. I know it. There's going to be, at 3:30 today, as a part of this, a dog show featuring Hungarian dog breeds.
Okay.
Of which you can name most of them, probably.
Sure.
There's the Hungarian Pully. There's the Commodore. That is the dog that looks like a giant mop. The Pully looks like a somewhat smaller
mop.
Yes. Google it, and you'll see exactly what I mean. There's the Transylvanian Kopi dog, which is nothing but a Hungarian bloodhound, and the Vizsla. The Vizsla is a very common breed, actually, a sporting breed that has got an active temperament, so you have to be able to keep up with the dog, especially when they're young, but the sweetest breed around.
Well, you talk about keeping up with a dog. There's yeah. this dog. I love this dog. Lives in my neighborhood, but this has so much energy. And just if you start petting the dog, it will not leave you alone. It's so much fun.
Do you have a pet elephant?
I did when I was 10. No. No. I
well, I'm
pet
sure
elephant.
There are certain weekends where you might have, but that's a whole different story, Mr. Schwanee. We're going to talk about Governor Bruce Rauner's consistent problem, I would say, with finding ink to sign bills.
Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
I love it how all these folks on Michigan Avenue are walking by with their dogs. It's a beautiful, beautiful morning. Good morning. Steve Dale here on WGN. It's 6:37, and maybe that's the issue. Maybe, you know, with all the budget cutbacks in Springfield, the governor has simply run out of ink and cannot sign bills. I would suggest perhaps what that problem is. The potential is great here. And by the way, happy to talk to you about this or any other related subject. 312-981-7200. In fact, there's a new, I don't know if it's a new rule or new law. We'll find out about if you live in Illinois, about dogs and hot cars. We'll get to that in a moment. I also want to talk about a cat cafe that may finally come to Chicago. And we'll hear far more details next week on the show, but I'll talk a bit about that in a minute. But Mark Ayers is here. He is the Illinois director of the Humane Society of the United States. Good morning, Mark. Thank you for getting up so early.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Good to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's good to talk to you. And Illinois could be the first state in America, and you probably have heard there are 49 others, that has said, we are not going to allow performing elephants. What do you mean by that? Because I know the Humane Society was really the big mover behind the bill, created the bill, perhaps. But why is that important as well?
Well, Steve, we could actually make history. So if Governor Bruce Rauner signs this bill, like you said, we'd be the first state in the United States to have this bill that would ban the use of performing elephants. And what I mean by that is it'll prohibit the use of elephants specifically in circuses and in the traveling shows. There are a number of circuses that are still out there. You know, we may have heard of the Ringling Brothers closing down and Barnum and Bailey closing down. But there are dozens of circuses that still exist that still use elephants in circuses and traveling shows. And just look at their USDA records, look no further than that, to see that those animals are notoriously being abused and neglected.
Well, it's ironic.
So trying to put an end to that.
Yeah, it's ironic and quite sad, really, that one of the big organizations that has come out and said and lobbied, spending money to do it, hoping that Governor Rauner does not sign the bill, is a traveling circus that, in fact, has been found guilty of animal abuse. And the other is the Shriners, an organization that does so much good. So explain why I agree, and the HSUS clearly agrees, that elephants ought not be in circuses.
Well, I mean, everything that we know about elephants, Steve, tells us that these are highly intelligent. They're social animals. They like to be in herds. They like to socialize with one another. And that's exactly the opposite of what you see in a circus and a traveling show. These elephants are on the back of a train, or they're on the back of a truck or a semi, going from city to city, state to state, just to perform for our amusement. And I think we as a society have said enough is enough. We are not going to put up with this type of abuse any longer. And some of these outfits, these circuses, they don't just have dozens and dozens of violations. There's one in particular, Steve, that has over 200 USDA violations. And these are no small thing. You know, these are violating the Federal Animal Welfare Act. And so to have 200 violations, I think that's enough, and we have to take a stand as a state to say we're not going to tolerate this any longer. And that was the point of Senate Bill 1342, that would prohibit these elephants and circuses and traveling shows. And throughout the entire bill process, the entire bill cycle, this bill had zero opposition throughout the process. And so I find it a little ironic that now that the bill is on the governor's desk, are they suddenly now activated asking for a veto when throughout the whole process they were completely absent from the process?
So I'd like to talk about that a little bit. So in Illinois, I don't believe we're making news when we say our public officials don't always agree on everything. On this one, they kind of did. The Illinois Senate, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, because you know this much better than I do, but I believe they were, I don't even know how to say this word, unanimous? I believe that could be the first time in a long time. The Illinois Senate was unanimous in their support. The House was, what, 80-something, 85% or thereabouts in favor of. So there was very little opposition regarding the votes. And it sailed kind of right through. Am I correct?
That is correct. There's not many bills, Steve, that you find in the General Assembly that have that type of support and that our legislators can agree on. And this was one of them. So in the Senate, it passed with a unanimous vote. Every single senator voted for it. Then it sailed over into the House, and it passed 91-14.
All right. Now, I'm stopping you there because we know through public opinion polls that the general public, now I don't know, maybe you do, that there's a poll specific to Illinois, but nationwide polls indicate that the public overwhelmingly today in 2017, may not have been the case 20 years ago, but today feel that elephants and in fact lions and tigers and bears and performing animals just should not be in circuses. So if the general public feels that way and the public officials have voted that way, wouldn't it be odd and arguably unwise in some ways for a governor, unless there's something that happened between the bill going through and the time the governor signs the bill, why would a governor not sign a bill with such support?
I'm not sure. You know, I'm very optimistic that he'll sign the bill, Steve. It's rare to find a bill that had this type of support. And, you know, we had members on both sides of the aisle on this bill, not only as sponsors, but as chief co-sponsors. And I had legislators call me and ask me, please add me as a chief co-sponsor to your bill, or add me as a regular sponsor to your bill. I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this history. And at the zoos, Steve, were also in support. So Lincoln Park Zoo and Brookfield Zoo, they supported the bill. They've written letters to the governor asking that he sign the bill into law. So it's really been a great process. And I'm hoping any day now he does put the pen to paper and sign this thing. He's got 60 days to sign it. And it landed on his desk on June 13th, I believe. So he has a number of weeks here to sign it. But I'm hoping he does so very quickly, because we're very excited about this bill.
Yeah, I mean, I was, and I still am excited about it, but now somewhat concerned, because I wonder if these traveling shows, which is what they are, and we don't see a lot of them in Chicago. I mean, they don't come to the big city. They mostly come to rural areas, and they may have an elephant or two or even three in the show. Listen, I do believe that these shows, although they don't have, and this is important to understand, they don't have the resources the big circuses do. So Ringling Brothers Circus, one thing I can say is they wanted their animals cared for, because they that's what the investment was all about. They're an expensive commodity. An employee could be replaced cheaper than a tiger or an elephant. So they did their best to care for the animals. My question is, even at doing their best, can they give an animal like an elephant all that they need, all that we know today the animal needs? And the answer to that, emotionally and physically, what the animal needs. This is an animal that travels a great distance naturally every day and with friends and family. And one of the great experiences in my life was just sitting on the other side of a river, up on a ravine, and we watched a family of elephants. And then you'd hear trumpeting, and a big male stormed right through the forest. All the warthogs, the baboons, the other animals knew he was coming and ran the other way, because he stormed right in. And then another family arrives, and another family arrives, and all these elephants know one another. And before long, you have, I don't know, there must have been 70 or 80 elephants there. And it was an amazing thing, because every time a new family came in, they were like talking to one another. They clearly knew each other. There were young elephants among these elephants. There were old elephants. It was a wonderful experience. Elephants are very emotional and very social animals. And they're also disappearing. They're endangered animals. So even if the circus can do the best they can do, can they provide what these animals really, really need? And many zoos have actually said no, which is why the Lincoln Park and the Brookfield Zoo are very much in favor of the bill that you're supporting, Mark. But in addition to that, both of these zoos have also said that we're here for education for the animals. And one of the arguments by those lobbying against the bill is that, well, we provide educational opportunities in our traveling circus. I never thought of a traveling circus as anything but entertainment. And the other issue they have has nothing to do with elephants, and that is that people don't want to see these shows as often as they did. The kids aren't as interested as they were, say, 20 years ago. It's not what today's kids really want to see. So these shows are economically strapped, which means some of the animals in their care do suffer a bit. And also the training methods are kind of iffy in some cases. And as you point out, one had 200 violations, which is unheard of. So, Mark, I wish you a lot of luck with this bill, and I will be surprised even if our governor doesn't sign it, because it makes perfect sense to do so. I want to talk to you about Something new happening in Illinois regarding dogs in hot cars. Can you hang in for a minute?
Absolutely.
All right. That's Mark Ayers. He's the Illinois Director of the Humane Society of the United States. Smart young man doing great good in our state and for the Midwest. But the thing also is that if this passes in Illinois, as happens in politics, other states will probably follow. It is 8 minutes before 7 o'clock on WGN. Rick Pearson here after 7 to talk about the Illinois state budget. And is it a good thing, really, what they came up with? He will have the answers to all that, perhaps. I am talking, in fact, with the Illinois Director of the Humane Society of the United States, Mark Ayers. Mark, a lot of text at 312-981-7200, and they all revolve around puppy mills. And I know the Humane Society is involved in that. I'm reaching over to read all, at least some of these to you now. I still see puppy stores in places like Woodfield. Are you involved in assessing those operations? They charge thousands of dollars for puppies. Another question is, what is the HSUS doing about puppy mills in the state of Illinois outside Chicago? Another question is, dogs and cats are not supposed to be sold at pet stores in Chicago. I know of at least two that are still selling puppies. A lot there to answer, Mark.
There's a lot there to answer. And I think, do we remember this recent bill that came up in the legislature just over the spring that would have allowed puppy mills to sell, will continue to sell puppies at pet stores? And this was a Senate Bill 1882 in the original form that was a bill that we worked on all spring, and it got a lot of heat, and it was backed by the AKC. It was backed by the pet store industry, and we worked on that for a number of months and got it to a good place, with us and the shelters and some of our allies. But that's primarily what we do, is we're focusing our efforts on legislation to combat puppy mills, and not only in Illinois, but we're seeing that type of legislation, Steve, throughout the United States. And we've been very successful in defeating or stripping some of those bills of their dangerous provisions.
Yeah, I was a part of that in Illinois, as I know you well know, Mark. And I wouldn't say it was defeated here. It was stripped of what it wanted to do. But at the end of the day, would you agree that any dog or cat sold at a pet store is from anywhere else but a responsible breeder, and therefore, what else do we have left? Therefore, likely a puppy mill. And in addition, we do already have in places ordinances and laws on the books, like in Cook County, like in Chicago, like in Waukegan, saying no dogs or cats can be sold at pet stores, but there are a couple places that are ignoring that, or they are suggesting that they are not for profits and somehow get around it.
That's right. Yeah, we're seeing this pop up quite a bit. In Chicago, for example, there's a pet store that seems to be getting around that ordinance. But I think in the large part, these ordinances are working, not only in the state, but across the United States. And I would encourage folks living in Illinois to focus on passing a humane ordinance of their own, similar to that of Cook County or Chicago. There's also ordinances in Waukegan and other places that prohibit the sale of puppy mill puppies in pet stores. And if someone is interested in putting a type of ordinance like that together and running at their city council, I would be happy to work with them on drafting that legislation and getting the ball rolling with it.
Naperville, here's your shot. Listen to what the guy's saying, and he's very, very good. I know Naperville has tried, and I know other communities have tried, and it's I think, very important. I agree with you, Mark. I also know it's important that I talk every year about don't leave dogs in hot cars, yet every single year there are news stories where people do, and tragedy ensues. It happens all of the time. There's a new law in Illinois. Can you explain that?
Well, the existing law, Steve, for this is a little bit vague, and there are 28 states right now that have some form of a Good Samaritan law. And what I mean by that is someone breaking open into a vehicle to rescue an animal that's stuck inside the car. Illinois is one of those states. We have a form of a Good Samaritan law but I think it needs some work. And the existing law in Illinois states that only law enforcement or animal control can bust open into a vehicle to rescue an animal that's in distress. You and I, or any average citizen, does not have the authority legally to bust open into a vehicle to rescue a pet. And I think that needs to be addressed. And there are a number of states just recently, Steve, that passed a very strong form of this Good Samaritan law that will exempt the rescuer from any civil and criminal liability from busting open into that vehicle. And I think that is the direction that we need to go as a state to do that. We have to allow citizens to be able to open up into a vehicle, bust open the window to rescue an animal if we see that it's in distress. Because right now, we don't have that authority as a citizen to do that.
All right. Well, of course, I agree with you about all of that. You are terrific. Thank you very much, Mark, again, for getting up early. And pay attention to my blog, stevedale.tv, because I'm sure Mark will let me be the first to know regarding elephants when the governor, I hope, signs the bill, and therefore you will all be the first to know. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Steve.
It's Mark Ayers from the Humane Society of the United States. Next week, Cat Cafe in Chicago. It could happen. Check it out on my blog, stevedale.tv. I hope it does.